If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 1, that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. Last time I was here, we talked about the first few opening verses of 1 Peter 1, where Peter addresses his readers as strangers and aliens, and yet beloved and dearly chosen people by God. And he talks with them about the joy that they have in their salvation, even though right now they're going through a time of persecution. So we're going to take continue from there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 13. And Peter is going to say in this passage that, you're going to get tired of hearing me say this, how they live matters, okay? They have this salvation. They've rejoiced in this salvation. And now we're going to see Peter encourage them in their salvation and in living it out in their daily lives. We're going to see 3 points in here, and they're not kind of in order. They're interwoven and interspersed throughout this passage. We're going to see, number one, that it starts with the mind. Number two, we're going to see that love is a natural result of a purified life. And number three, that our life here is very transient, but we will be changed into something that is imperishable. So watch for those 3 points. It starts with the mind, love is a natural result, and the perishable will become imperishable as we read verses 13 beginning and down through the first couple of verses of chapter 2. 1 Peter 1, starting in 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, so Peter starts out this passage saying, prepare your minds for action. Now, when we think about preparing for action, we don't normally think about preparing our minds. You know, a runner who's going to run a marathon is going to spend a lot of time practicing, training. But Peter is saying, action is required, but prepare your minds for action. And then he goes along from there and he says, be self-controlled, okay? Again, that comes from the mind. We can't be self-controlled if we're not thinking about what we're doing. People who fly off the handle aren't normally thinking, they're just reacting. And why is this important? Because the action that's required is an action that must come from the heart. We talked in our Sunday school class this morning about the fact that there are a lot of good people out there from a worldly point of view. Some that even put some of us to shame in how good they are, their good deeds, their philanthropy. But without God, it's not enough. No matter how good we try to be, it is not good enough if it comes only from ourselves. As the hymn that we sang this morning, I am his and he is mine, that's what's important. Without belonging to God, nothing else in life will ever matter. I was asked one time what I wanted for my kids. Someone was just having a baby in the congregation, and as they were going through the 9 months of expectancy, they were asking for some sermons on raising children. And I said to them, you know what? I would rather have my child work for 40 years saying, would you like fries with that, and be a Christian, than to be a well-respected physician or a lawyer or whatever and spend eternity apart from God. So it starts in the mind, because the relationship with God starts with an intentional decision to follow God. Christianity is not a matter of simply obeying all the rules, checking off the lists. If so, like I say, we've got people way better than some of us are, than I am. But it starts in the heart. Be self-controlled. And then his third part, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled. And then he says, set your hope fully on the grace to be revealed when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay. When Jesus comes back, that's when everything is resolved. That's what we're living for. Peter says, set your hope on that. The grace that's going to be given to you then is going to be fully revealed, and it's going to be living with God for eternity, spending eternity in his presence, singing his praise, bearing fruit for him for all eternity. And Peter goes on from there, and he says, do not conform. What verse is that? Verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Okay, this harkens back to the reading that we had this morning. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Peter says here, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Isn't it kind of Peter to even make excuses for where they came from? Sure, they had evil desires, but it was because they lived in ignorance. They didn't know any better. But now they do. And so Peter is saying, don't live like that anymore. You're not to conform to those ways, because you've put them behind you. How you live matters. In both cases, in this case and in Romans 12, we see that union of the physical and the spiritual. Do not be conformed, Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sorry, I need to back up. Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, who is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies, the physical, for your spiritual worship. It's not like we can compartmentalize ourselves and say, well, on Sunday, I'll be this spiritual person, and Monday through Friday at work, and probably even on Saturdays, I'll live however I want. We can't compartmentalize. It is a physical and a spiritual union within us as we unite with our Savior. Verse 16, Peter says, instead of conforming to those evil desires you used to have, rather, he says in verse 16, be holy. Why? Because God is holy, and he is the one who called you. They, and by extension we, have been called by God, and God calls us to himself so that we can be like him. What does holy even mean? That's not a word we hear outside of the church building unless it's in a derogatory or profane kind of way. Holy means set apart, and in our case, set apart for service to God. Is it any wonder then that we are, as we saw in the first part of 1 Peter chapter 1, is it any wonder that we are strangers and aliens? We are set apart, so of course we're going to be different. And set apart for the service of God, that makes us incredibly different. And then in verse 18, Peter again comes back to the same topic of how we live matters. He says in verse 18, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Why? He says, for you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Again, it's kind of him to make excuses for where they came from. He understands their background. These people weren't born into a family that went to church every Sunday. So he says, the first time he says, you lived in ignorance. This time he's saying, it was an empty way of life that was handed down to you from your forefathers. And he says, you are redeemed from that, not by perishable things like silver and gold. And we read that and say, what? Silver and gold? Perishable? Rather, he says, you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now I ask you, if I were to put silver or gold on your dining room table, no, I'm not planning to, don't get your hopes up. If I were to put silver or gold on your dining room table and a cup of lamb's blood, which would you think would be more perishable? Do you see how Jesus turns things upside down? Because the blood of Jesus is that which is imperishable. Its effects will last forever as we spend eternity with God. The silver and gold, on the other hand, are part of the earth where we read the earth and everything in it will be burned up and melt with fervent heat. That's why Paul says at the end of 2 Corinthians 4, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen, the silver and gold, is temporary. But what is unseen, the spiritual, is eternal. So, back to what Peter was saying, you were redeemed not by perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Peter goes on to say he was chosen before the creation of the world. That is how much God loves you. The cross was not an afterthought because things went awry and God had to scramble to come up with a plan. There are Christians who teach that, and I use the word Christians lightly here. There are churches who teach that the cross was God's attempt to fix a problem when things didn't go the way he expected them to. Please, please understand, God planned this before the world was ever even created, that he would send Jesus to suffer and die for you, for your sins, because he loves you that much. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but he was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, Peter says, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. Isn't that a beautiful passage? through Jesus, through what Jesus did for us, we believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. Truly, our faith and our hope are in God. Why? Because if God is powerful enough to raise the dead when Jesus was killed, he is powerful enough to raise us here and now out of the waters of baptism, out of a dead life, into a new and living life here and now. And then is also powerful enough to raise us again at the end of time, when this cemetery right outside our building will see the graves opened and the dead rise. That's the amazing, powerful God that we serve. The second point is that love is the outcropping of our faith. Peter says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for all your brothers. Okay, so that's the sentence fragment, but I'm going to stop there. Peter says that having that sincere brotherly love is just a natural outcropping of the fact that they have obeyed the truth. They have purified themselves. When we come to Christ, when we give ourselves to him, when we obey the truth, we are given an amazing family. And part of that is a love that we have. The love that we see every Sunday morning when I get up here and have to sadly tell people that it's time to quit the lovely visiting because we have something even more wonderful as we worship our God together. That's the kind of love that is a natural outcome of coming to Christ. Peter says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for all your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Peter says, take it to the next level. The brotherly love that we have is amazing. But there is even a deeper love than that, a sacrificial love, an unconditional love. And he says, now that you have this brotherly love, love one another deeply from the heart. And why? Because we have this new family. We have the family of God that has been given to us. He says, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. We all come from physical families. We were born of physical seed. And those families, as much as we love them, let's face it, most of them have issues. Let's call them issues, okay? This is a family that we have chosen, not one that we were born into through some twist of fate. But we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Jesus talks in the parable of the sower about the seed being the word of God. We have been born again by imperishable seed, as that seed is planted within us and then grows and takes root and blossoms and bears fruit as we become children of God, as we become part of this family that is also born of imperishable seed. We are part of an eternal family here. And it's critical that we learn to love each other. My dad used to have a ditty that he used to love saying, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. And it's kind of funny until you think about it. But when you think of the sad cases that we've heard about brethren not being able to get along with brethren, it makes you wonder, what are they going to do when they get to heaven? Will there be separate rooms for them so they don't have to deal with each other? It doesn't work that way. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for all your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, all men are like grass, and all their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. When you think of how long grass lasts, or how long flowers last, Asher was given a lovely flower the other day, and it's still sitting on our dining room table. But you know what? It's not going to last very long, because that's the nature of physical things. That's the nature of the perishable. We have been given an imperishable family that we need to learn to love here and now. That's not to say that we have to be best buds with every single person in the entire congregation. I mean, even Jesus had people who were closer to him. He had the 12 out of all the disciples that followed him. And within the 12, he had three that we read about that he, you know, took to the Mount of Transfiguration. He took to the Garden of Gethsemane. And even among those three, there was one that was referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. So it's not like, it's not like you have to be best buds with everybody. But if there's someone that you don't know very well, or even somebody that maybe rubs you the wrong way a bit, maybe get to know that person a little bit, remembering that the same imperishable blood of Jesus that saved you saved them. And as we talk about that imperishable seed and the imperishable family, it provides a nice segue into more instruction from Peter. As we've already started talking about the Isaiah 40 passage, everything in this world, no matter how permanent, as we've already talked about, is in the final analysis perishable. And it's this temporary nature of everything that's physical that we should be using to help us to make decisions on how we live. It should give us all the motivation we could ever need to get our priorities straight. How very fleeting are the things that tempt us, that seem so magnetic right now that we have a hard time saying no to. The Hebrew writer says of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, or as the good old KJV put it, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Whichever way, the pleasures of sin, yes, they're pleasurable. Let's just admit it. Sin is, if it wasn't pleasurable, it wouldn't be a temptation, would it? But the pleasure, number one, it's empty, like Peter said about the empty way of life handed from their forefathers. Number two, it's so temporary, and it doesn't leave us with any kind of fulfillment. In fact, it leaves us with guilt. So choose, like Moses, to suffer affliction if necessary with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Indeed, the word of the Lord does stand forever. And this is the word of the word that was preached to you. The same imperishable word was what was preached to us. So what do? Rid yourselves of malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Peter says, now that you are this way, Make sure you get rid of all that stuff in your life that is going to hold you back. Malice, envy, deceit, hypocrisy, slander. Doesn't sound like God's people, does it? How you live matters. We've come full circle here. As Peter has already said, do not conform to the evil desires from our previous lives of ignorance. Put away the empty lifestyles handed down to us from our forefathers, and now get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. All of these are completely inconsistent with the progression of love that God's children are to have for their forever family. Our desire for sin is replaced by a hunger and thirst for all things God. He says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. He says we are to crave pure spiritual milk. Feed ourselves constantly on the Word of God, as we were reminded this morning, reading it is the way to get to heaven. Remember how very short life is. We read elsewhere that our life is a vapor that lasts for a little while and then vanishes away. Next time you boil the kettle, when it comes to a boil, watch that vapor and see how long it lasts. That's how long our life is. Let's live holy lives, because he who called us is holy. The hymn that we're going to close with this morning asks, more holiness give me. 681. Let's live holy lives because he who called us is holy, and because the privilege to do so was secured at the cost of the blood of Jesus. Let us live lives of love, because here we have a family that is actually more special than our physical families. Let me say that again. Here we have a family that is more special than our physical families. Because our physical families are temporary, our spiritual family is imperishable. We will live with them forever, thanks to the blood of Jesus. Let us live lives of love, because here we have a family that is actually more special than our original physical families, and let us do all of this with an acute awareness of the fact that the only imperishable is the spiritual, which comes from God. Let's stand and sing.